I knew a long time ago I was going to start a new series in May called Just Say Amen and talk to you about prayer because, man, oh, man, what we do with prayer today in no way resembles what was done with prayer in the Bible. And if there's ever something we need to get back to, it's to praying the way they prayed with the zeal they prayed with and relying on the God they relied on. And so I want to, it's kind of a teaching series. I'm excited about it. I want to preach to you today about prayer. We've all prayed in multiple circumstances. I've prayed to get out of trouble. I've prayed thanks to God when I got out of trouble. I've prayed thanks for my food, for blessings. Pray for people we love who are sick. Pray for people who are traveling like Charlie is right now. That's why he's not here. We even pray at our church softball games. We get out there with the other team. We huddle around home plate, and we pray before every game. And generally, Derek can confess to this, the prayer follows one of two lines. It'll be keep us safe from injury, help us to not get hurt while we're playing, or help the umpires to have a good game, a prayer I've never seen answered yet. But I can't think of an area in my life where there's not a potential prayer. I don't know how many of you know Raymond Stipp. Raymond's close to 90 now. And when I came here 10 years ago, he immediately became my golfing buddy. I love Raymond. And he played golf about every day 10 years ago. And he'd have been just over 80. And I knew I was going to love him the first time I played with him because I really didn't even know him. We go play golf at Otis. His golf ball's up against a tree. No way he can hit it. And he says to me, "Preacher, this would be a good time to cheat." And he kicks his ball out to the middle of the fairway. Took all the pressure off of me, I'll tell you that. But anyway, this is number 18, one of my favorite holes around here. This is number 18 at Country Oaks, got the silo back there. And this is in Montgomery, Indiana. It's a par 4, which means nothing to some of you. My tee bed, you can't see, is back here. And there's the green. It's got some wooden planks around it. You got to hit it all the way over the water if you want to go for the green. That's where the big boys hit it. The women, children, and Raymond always bail to the right. But years ago, Raymond stepped up on the big boy tee, and he dug down deep in his back, in his bag, and he took out the oldest cut-up ball he could find, and he teed it up. But before he hit it, he heard a voice from heaven say, "Wait. Replace that old ball with a brand new one." And immediately, Raymond's thinking, "I've got divine help. This time I'm clearing the water. I'm going to hit it on the green. I mean, why would the Lord tell me to use a new ball if I wasn't going to hit it on the green?" So he teed up a new ball. He was so pumped up. And before he could tee off, the voice from above spoke again, "Wait, step back and take a practice swing." Raymond stepped back. And I don't know if you've ever seen Raymond swing a golf club, but it's the wildest, craziest. And he took a practice swing, and he stepped up to hit the ball again, and the voice from heaven again, "Let me see another practice swing." So he stepped back and took another practice swing or two. Then there was silence, and then the voice boomed out, "Put back the old ball." We're always looking for an edge. Much of the time, prayer is like a four-leaf clover for most of us, or a good luck horseshoe or something. It's good to start a ball game or a meal or a meeting at church, but after that, doesn't have much value. We should take a tip from children all the time, especially in this area. They just simply talk to God. I found some written kids' prayers that I thought we could start with, see how these hit you. "Dear God, are boys better than girls? I know you are one, but try to be fair. Dear God, I went to this wedding and they kissed right in church. Is that okay? Dear God, I want to be just like my daddy when I get big, but not with so much hair all over. Dear God, instead of letting people die and having to make new ones, why don't you just keep the ones you got now? Dear God, daddy says you're bigger than anything. Are you bigger than Shaq? Dear God, thank you for the baby brother, but what I prayed for was a puppy. Here's my favorite. Dear God, if we come back as something, please don't let me be Jennifer Horton because I hate her." Now, how would it hit you if I kicked off a series on prayer and began it this way? Prayer is meaningless. How's that hit you? It's a waste of time. nothing inherently valuable about prayer. People pray for lots of different things in lots of different ways to lots of different gods. Prayer itself is just words. Even the Bible talks about meaningless prayer. Prayers that are asked from selfish desires, meaningless. Prayers that are not asked in faith, meaningless. Prayers that are asked out of evil motives, meaningless. Prayers that are prayed for appearances only. Prayers that are not sincere. Prayers that are hindered by our unkind treatment of other people, meaningless. Prayers that are against God's will. Now, I thought I'll start out this series like every other preacher would, and I'll just stand up and I'll start yelling, pray more. We need to pray more. And that's how I was going to begin. Until I thought more about it, and I thought, you know, I don't even need to hear that myself. Pray more. What I need to hear is not only pray more, pray right. Pray right. So let me talk to you this morning for a few minutes about how to pray right. It's my favorite passage, one of my favorite passages of Scripture, 1 John 5. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. Here it is, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. Man, there's a three-point outline that jumps out. I'm not going to use it, but I hated to pass over it. The three-point outline would say this, that if we believe, he saves, that if we ask, he hears, and that if he hears, we have. But the part of the text that always catches my attention is anything you pray according to the will of God will be given to you. So I want to ask again, how do I pray according to the will of God? Because I want my prayers to be answered. Well, here's a formula. If you're a note taker, these are some good tips. Number one, if we're going to pray according to the will of God, we have to pray for what we already know God wants. That makes sense? Nod at me, bobbleheads, if it does. If we're going to pray for the will of God, we have to pray for what we know God already wants. There are 5 or 6 will of God passages in the Bible in regards to prayer where it says, this is God's will. We're always questioning that. Well, how about using these passages to start your prayer life? Pray for what you already know God wants. Will of God passage number one. It's found in 1 Thessalonians 4:3. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality. Let's stop right there. When's the last time you prayed, God, keep me pure? He'll answer that one because that's his will. You're praying according to his will. You're going to pray for what you know God already wants you to do. When is the last time you make me pure, make me holy? Don't let my eyes look at what they shouldn't. Don't let my mind think about what it should. Keep me pure. Will of God passage number 2, 1 Peter 2:13. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority. When's the last time you prayed, God help me submit? Because when you pray that prayer, you're praying according to the will of God. It will be answered. How about this will of God passage, 2 Corinthians 7, 9 and 10. I'm happy, not because you were made sorry, but because your sorrow led you to repentance. For you became sorrowful, here it is, as God intended, God willed, and so were not harmed in any way by us. Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. Worldly sorrow brings death. See, there's a difference between just being sorry because I got caught and my dad's going to strap me for it, and being sorrowful to where, you know what, I'm never going to do that again, and I'm sorry I did it, and I'm going to make sure I don't let it happen again. When's the last time you prayed that? Because that's God's will. Will of God passage number 4, 2 Corinthians 8:5. And they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God, also to us. When's the last time you prayed, Lord, I give my entire self up to you? Because if you pray that prayer, it will be answered because it's the will of God. You know, all of us can flip switches, can't we? We can appear to be one way and then another. Even the greatest office manager in any church in Indiana can do that. Do you know who I'm talking about? There she is right there. Would you agree she's the greatest office manager in any? That's right. And I'm glad that you applauded her and built her up, because I got to tell you, even this woman can flip switches. She's on the phone one day, and it must have been somebody from down at Hazard. Had to be. Because the dude on the phone, and Priscilla takes all kinds of phone calls for me, and the guy said, can I speak to the head hog at the trough? And Priscilla said, you mean Mark? Yeah, the head hog at the trough. I said, listen, sir, if you're going to talk about our preacher, you will address him as preacher or pastor, or you can even call him Mark. And the man told Priscilla, whatever there, little lady. He said, I was thinking about donating $10,000 to the new church building. And Priscilla said, hold on, I think Porky just walked in. Just that quick. Flip a switch. Will of God, passage number 5, 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Now, this is a teaching moment, so pay attention. It's God's will that everyone be saved. I want a yes or no from you, church. Will there be people in hell someday who will be there for eternity? Yes or no? Is it God's will for everyone to be saved? Yes or no? So you have a clear-cut example that God's will doesn't always happen. Where did we get this goofy notion that everything that happens, happens because it's the will of God? It's not only a goofy notion, it's a dangerous notion. The abuse that takes place in families outside of these walls, that's not the will of God. The accident that took your loved one, that's not the will of God. The job you lost, the relationship you ruined, the feelings you had, the sins you commit, not the will of God. Things happen because we act according to our will, not God's. And this passage clearly states it's God's will that everyone be saved. So think about it. When's the last time you were in a church group and they said, hey, let's have some prayer requests? And all of those prayer requests had to do with everyone that we know, we love, that doesn't know Jesus. Hey, my uncle is going to hell. Could you pray for him? That's not what happens. My uncle has cancer. Could you pray for him? He can eternally survive cancer. He cannot eternally survive hell. Here they are again. Abstain, become holy, submit, repent, give up self. If you want to pray according to the will of God, then pray for what you know God wants already. Number two, if we're going to pray according to the will of God, we have to pray the prayers that God already told us to pray. There's a prayer list in your Bible. I'll hit a few highlights. James 5:16, pray for one another. Matthew 5:44, pray for your enemies. 2 Thessalonians 3, pray for our missionaries, those in ministry. 1 Timothy 2:1, pray for those in authority. You didn't like Obama, you should have prayed for him. You don't like Trump, you should pray for him. Hebrews 13, pray for those in prison. You want to pray according to the will of God, pray for what you know God wants already, and pray the prayers that God already told us to pray. Number three. If we're going to pray according to the will of God, we have to pray the prayers the early believers already prayed. Now, in my occupation, it's important to be as original as you can, but I've learned, as every other preacher has, you can't be original all the time because there aren't many new thoughts. If I'm thinking it in prep for sermon, that means somebody else has probably already thought it. I get beat to the punch all the time, but it's not just me. Usually somebody in my world is already miles ahead of where I finally get to. They'll never tell you this, but Derek and Erica, when they started dating, I'll tell you how it started. Derek, years and years ago, before he even met Erica, he went to town, and he went to the hardware store, and he bought a bucket and an anvil, and then he went to the livestock dealer, and he bought a goose and two chickens. That's kind of a strange combination, ain't it? We got a bucket, an anvil, a goose, and two chickens. And Derek said, I'm going to have to leave this stuff here and go home and get a truck, come back. And the livestock dealer said, no. He said, you can carry all that home. He said, you put the anvil in the bucket, and then you put a chicken under each arm, and then you carry the goose in the other hand. You got the anvil and the bucket in one hand, chickens under the arm, goose in the other hand, you carry it all home. Derek said, that's great advice. So Derek takes off with a bucket and an anvil in one hand two chickens under his arm and a goose in the other hand. And it just so happens he sees this young, sweet lady, and he says, "Can I help you? You look like you're lost." And never met Erica before. She said, "Yeah, I am." He said, "Could you tell me how to get to 1515 Mockingbird Lane?" He said, "That's just past my house." He said, "We can take a shortcut through this dark alley, and I'll get you there." And Erica said, "No, no, no. Dark alley. We'll get in that dark alley, and you'll try to steal a kiss from me." And Derek said, "Come on, I'm carrying a bucket and an anvil. I got two chickens under my arms and a goose in the other hand. How am I going to steal a kiss from you?" And Erica said, "Well, you could set the goose down, cover him with the bucket, put the anvil on top, and I'll hold the two chickens for you." See, she's more devious than you all know. It seems like it's true quite often that whatever thought you have, it's something that's been thought before. We should use that to our advantage. We need to pray the prayers that the early believers prayed. Now, I'm not on any kind of campaign to change church prayer lists, but listen to this. 20 years ago, I conducted my own experiment, and I gathered up bulletins sent for them from all the Christian churches in Indiana. I can't remember the number now, but almost every church sent me their bulletin. I was curious what their prayer list looked like compared to the church that I was serving at, and all of them looked the same. I mean, you couldn't tell which church it was, except the names were different. Compare those lists, though, with the list in the Bible. In the Bible, the early Christians' prayers were mission and ministry related. In the modern day church, they're always health and healing related. In the Bible, they prayed for open doors, they prayed for opportunities, they prayed for victory over Satan, they prayed for endurance, they prayed for knowledge, they prayed for the power of the Holy Spirit, they prayed for hope. Mission and ministry-based prayers. Now, don't get me wrong. We're told to pray for the sick, pray for healing. I'm all for that. But if you look at the prayer list in the Bible, it ain't ours. Here's an example. "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you." And here's the prayer. "We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding the Spirit gives." You want to pray according to the will of God? You pray the prayers the early believers prayed. Here's another thought. If we're going to pray according to the will of God, we need to pray with confidence for what God has already promised. Now, if your mind works like mine and you should pray it does not, then after making that point, I would ask, if God's promised it, why do I need to pray for it anyway? Well, there are some conditions to the promises in the Bible. I'm going to give you a verse. We'll do a little Bible study real quick. I want you to tell me the key word in this verse. Jesus said, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you." What is the key word? One word. Very good, Heather. If. Whole thing hinges not on God, but on you. If you remain in me, my words remain in you. Ask whatever you wish, it will be done for you. James 1, if any of you lacks wisdom, that's me, let him ask of God, who will give to him freely. God's promises are many, but there are conditions put upon us. Over and over, the Bible teaches me, if you, then he. If you, then he. If you, then he. Years ago, Queen Elizabeth came to Cincinnati. Not that that changed anything in my schedule, but I mean, it would have been cool to meet her face to face. I didn't, but the Cincinnati Inquirer, it gave us tips in case we ran into the Queen. Like you're just going to run into the Queen at Skyline or something. That ain't going to happen. But the tips were the protocol on how to address her and speak with her. It was fascinating. And nowhere on that list did it say, "Hey, Mark, if you come up to Queen Elizabeth, you stick out your hand and say, 'Hey, Lizzie, high five.'" That wasn't on the list. All these things. Right down the road from the seminary, we had a mechanic who worked on cars for students. His name was Knucklehead. I don't know his real name, but that's all anybody ever called him. Maybe that was his real name. But no one ever referred to him as Sir Knucklehead. And no one ever called him Mr. Knucklehead or Your Highness Knucklehead. We preachers and teachers, we've gone to such great lengths to make people comfortable with God. He's our father. He's our friend. He's like talking to your next door neighbor. And all of that has some truth to it. But man, has the pendulum swung too far? We've lost sight of the majesty and the power of the Creator. When God descended on Mount Sinai, do you know what happened to the entire mountain? It started shaking, the whole mountain, only because God showed up. There were people praying in a house in Acts, the second chapter, and the Holy Spirit came down upon them. Do you know what happened to the house? On its foundations, it began to shake. There is a seismic difference between God as a concept and God as a reality. God on papers in a book is not the same as God in my life. He's the maker of the heavens and the earth. He speaks the word and life begins. He moves mountains. He divides seas. He's all seeing, all knowing, all powerful, all present. There's none like him. The earth is nothing but a footstool to him. He doesn't just love. He is love. He doesn't just make the sun. He's the light. He doesn't just offer food. He's the bread of life, majestic, glorious, holy, perfect. He tells the sun where to shine in the morning. He tells the moon where to dance at night. He tells the oceans, you can only come this far and no farther. He threw out the stars and knew where they'd land. He's the only Lord God of heaven. And when we pray, it's not God our errand boy. It's not God our bellhop. It's not God our personal assistant. It's not God our Facebook friend. He's the Lord God of heaven. And we should never come before him where we are in awe of his presence and amazed at his power and thankful he's who he says he is. Amen? It's the song that I used to sing 1,000 times when it came out. And now recently popular again because of a movie. Will I stand in your presence? To my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. Remind yourselves every morning, I get to talk to the most powerful person in the universe today. That's awesome. So let me review and then mention one last one. If we're going to pray according to the will of God, we will pray for what we know God already wants. We will pray the prayers that God already told us to pray. We will pray the prayers that early believers have already prayed. And we will pray with confidence for what God has already promised. But there's one more thought, and this is where most of us live. We pray prayers of thanks and appreciation for everything from food to family. And there's a couple of questions that dog us. The questions are these. God already knows what I need before I ask, so why ask? And God hears me the first time I ask, and he never forgets. So why ask again? Well, that's the last truth. If we're going to pray according to the will of God, we need to pray with expectation for what God has already proven he enjoys giving us. Talk about a cool verse. Which of you, Jesus said, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone, or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? The Bible confirms over and over that when we accepted Jesus, we were adopted into God's family, and he didn't adopt us because we had something to offer him. It's because he had something to offer us. Now, I've heard of unplanned pregnancies. I have never heard of an unplanned adoption. So God thought about it. He said, man, I'm choosing them to be mine. I love the story of the immigrant shopkeeper's son. He came to him and said, Dad, I can't understand how you do business. I don't even know how we're still in business. He said, you keep your accounts payable in a cigar box. You keep your accounts receivable on an old spindle. All the money's in the register. You don't know what our profit margins are. He said, son, let me tell you something. When I came to this country, all I owned were the pants I'm wearing. Now your sister's a doctor, your brother's a lawyer, you're a CPA, your mom and I own a little house, a car in the store. He said, son, add all that up and subtract the pants. There's your profit. Listen, this promise in the Bible takes some pressure off. People ask me all the time, Mark, should I pray about this? And it might, just like I would ask my dad for just about everything that came into my head that I thought I wanted, needed, should have. It was his will to discern whether or not I needed it, should have it. So I just asked for everything. And according to the Bible, that's pretty much what God wants me to do as well. Relationships, work, getting in shape, even if it seems trivial. It's a simple formula. It will work for you. Whatever it is you ask, you trust, you be thankful, because the truth is, if it matters to you, it matters to God. It's important to know that the power in prayer lies on the other side of our prayer, who we're praying to. There was a little boy who got down beside his bed with his mom and his grandma and softly started saying his prayer. Check this out. Dear God, bless mom and dad, all the family, and give me a good night's sleep. Amen. And then suddenly he looked up and shouted, and don't forget that new bike on my birthday. And his mom said, there's no need for that. God's not deaf. The little boy said, no, God's not, but grandma is. Years ago, there was a prayer seminar. I'll close with this. And a guy named Danny attended the seminar. This was kind of cool. Derek, I don't know if you've ever done this. I never have, and I think it's probably a good exercise. The leader of the seminar wanted everybody there to ask God to give them a name for them to talk to God about. That might have been confusing, so let me restate it. He wanted, if you were there, he wanted you to pray, God, give me a name that you want me to pray to you about. That's a different approach, but I like it. And Danny thought, well, this is kind of stupid because a name could pop into my head. How do I know that that's from God? But he did it anyway. And a name came to his mind. And he prayed because he felt like God gave him the name to pray about. Wasn't long after that, I walked into a tumbleweed restaurant in Erlanger, Kentucky. And there sat Danny. I hadn't seen him for years and years since we'd been in college together. And he came over to me and he said, Mark, you're never going to believe this, but I was at a prayer seminar and we were told to ask God who he wanted us to pray for. And now I get to tell you face to face, Mark, you've been on God's mind. That was cool. Things happen when we pray according to the will of God. I don't want to be just another preacher who stands up and yells, pray more, pray. You need to pray more. Well, you do, but you need to pray right. Lord, I pray you'll be our eyes. Watch us where we go. Help us to be wise in things when we don't know. Let this be our prayer when we lose our way. Lead us to a place, guide us by your grace, to a place where we'll be safe. Let's be a church that not only prays more, let's be a church that learns to pray right. Amen.